Brother Chris D'Amico's here, and we're actually going to start the service a little differently than normal. So what we're going to do is we're going to put out one bucket during praise and worship, and when I pray us in, I'm going to pray over the offering. And during your worship tonight, as an act of worship, we're going to give an offering. And then after announcements and all that, this is your tithe and offering is the first one. And then before he gets up here to preach, because we don't want to break the flow of anointing, we don't want to have to stop and try to figure out the service at the end, we're going to take his offering up right after worship and announcements, okay? So if you have an offering, make sure you're giving him the offering. But if you have your tithe, make sure you give it for this first one. So, yes, Angel, the first one is your tithe and offering. The second one is for Brother Chris. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to get started. And I believe that the Spirit of God is already starting to just enter into this place, and we're just going to start ushering in the presence before we even get started. And so we're going to pray and get started. So, Father God, I just thank you for this service, Lord God. I thank you for the word that you gave Brother D'Amico to give to us tonight, Lord God. I thank you for the presence just ushering in and guiding us where we need to go, Lord God. And I just thank you for this offering, Lord God, for their tithe and their offering, Lord. I just praise you that you're going to bless it. You're going to rebuke the devourer on their behalf, Lord God. And I just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hear the sound. So good.
Okay, we're good now. Got it. Okay, so real quick, before we let Brother D'Amico just go off, we're going to take up his offering. We're going to bless this man's ministry because he's already blessed us. He's already came in and set a fire, set a blaze the last time he was in here. Unfortunately, I was at a church camp, so I didn't get to hear him and be here, but I feel very blessed and honored to be here tonight. So we're just going to go ahead. I'm going to bring the buckets up. We're going to pray, and you're going to bring up the offering. So, Father God, I just thank you tonight for Brother Chris, Lord God. I just thank you for bringing him into our lives and setting an appointed time for him to come in and just give us a word, Lord God. I pray that this offering blesses every aspect of the ministry that he needs it to bless, Lord God, and whatever he needs, that we can meet it tonight. And I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Kids are free to go to class too. Sorry about that. All right. So without holding up any more time of this brother and let him just come in as a fireball and give us the message that God has gave him, Brother Chris D'Amico.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Why don't you stand to your feet real quickly? And just greet two or three people next to you. Stand up and just release God's love. Just next to you, just give a hug, a handshake, whatever it might be. And we'll get right into things tonight. It's approximately 7:30 right now, so we want to get right at it. We've got a lot of things to say. And then you can be seated. We love you tonight. This is a great honor to be with you. We were at in Botkins for three services and another service in Cary. Had tremendous services, so many miracles, such a release of the miraculous, and we're just ready to keep it going tonight. Amen? I think I'm a little bass heavy. Take a little of that bass out. That would be great. Before we get started tonight, I want to mention a few things. I normally don't. You got to take the bass out. Bass out. Okay. I normally don't mention the product stuff. Bass. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 bass. Okay, bring up the treble, get rid of the bass. Amen? I used to be a worship leader. Got a little feedback. Bring the volume down. Let's try that. Yeah, let's try that. Any case, I normally don't mention product. And before we start, I just want to mention a few things. A lot of years ago, I was in a relatively large church, and the pastor there was a pretty seasoned guy, and he said to me, "Brother Chris, why don't you mention your product table?" And I said, "Well, you know, Pastor, I've been very careful about merchandising the anointing, you know, merchandising things and making church a big merchandising. I've been very careful about those things." And so, you know, years ago, Kenneth E. Hagin, have you ever heard of him? Anybody ever heard of Kenneth Hagin? Okay. Well, Jesus had appeared to him and spoke to him for an hour and a half concerning the prophet's office. And then he turned around to walk away, and he turned back to Brother Hagin and said, "Be very careful about finances." He said, "Many of my ministers, that are called by my name that carry the anointing lost the anointing because they became money-minded. So I've been extremely cautious in these areas. Amen? The three G's you got to be careful about. The girls, the gold, and the glory. All right? And if you're a guy, if you're a girl, it's the guys, the gold, and the glory. Okay, those are the three things that will take you to hell if you're not careful. Are you listening to me? So in any case, nevertheless to say, I just, you know, that pastor prompted me. He said, you need to let the people know. And really, we put product on the table not to, you know, raise a bunch of money, but to help the people. Half the time when I'm flowing under the anointing, I'll pray for somebody and I'll know whatever their issues are, and I would go to the back table and throw about six series on them just to help them. You follow me? Just to teach them in certain areas because I know they're struggling. But let me just mention a couple things. Here's a teaching series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you were to ask most of the body of Christ if they knew the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and they wouldn't know. Are you there? The gifts of the Spirit are the nine manifestations of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you would prophesy. So there's three power gifts. I would say power gifts. Three revelation gifts. And three utterance gifts. And so the gifts of healings, workings of miracle, and the gift of faith are power gifts. Those are granted as the Spirit wills. Then there's utterance gifts, which is tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Those are gifts of utterance. And then, of course, revelation gifts, power gifts, and utterance gifts. And revelation gifts would be the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. Are you listening to me? So the word of knowledge would be revelation of present, past. Word of wisdom, present, future. And, of course, discerning of spirits is not discerning of devils. It's discerning of spirits, which would actually, you not only would discern people's motivation, but you would also be able to discern angels and demonic activity. It's a gift of the Spirit. Amen? So these things are powerful. The gifts of the Spirit will change the world. Are you listening to me? They will literally change the world. How would you parents, like if your daughter or something, 16, went out and said, I want you to don't go here, 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 and they came home. And where were you? And they said, well, we went down to Susie's house. And then the word of knowledge said they weren't at Susie's house. They were down at a pizza parlor. Then the fear of God would come back to your house, right? Revelation, when you start reading their mail, right? What kind of a crowd I got? Y'all here tonight? Amen. He loves you. And see, these are powerful things that I'd like to introduce to you. I know Pastor teaches you these things, but this would be good for you to get, okay? Amen? Can you say amen? Okay, here's another one. We'll just talk real quickly because I got stuff to teach tonight. This is one on dominion. The body of Christ, we've heard people say, hold the fort. We're not holding the fort. We're kicking down the gates of hell. Are you listening to me? I'm not holding no fort. I'm looking for trouble tonight. We're going to smack the devil upside the head. We have dominion. Now, that's not good King James, but it works for me. Are you listening to me? In the first few pages of the Bible, Genesis 1, he said, God said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness and let him have dominion. Dominion means authority. And God created man. He crowned him with glory and honor and created him to have dominion. Let me tell you something. You have authority over the devil, over all his fallen cohorts, and you're in the driver's seat, so push back and don't live in fear. Amen. Amen. The devil's already had three hernias. I'm talking. Well, let me tell you something. You are in the driver's seat. Don't ever forget that. When fear comes, if you're afraid to go through a door, kick the door open. Whatever you're afraid of, do the opposite of it, and you'll be in faith. Amen. You have dominion. Everybody say dominion. Dominion. That's been delegated to you like a policeman. A policeman could go on the street, and a 5,000, 6,000-pound car coming down the street, if he put his hand out, the car could run him over. But because of the authority that's been delegated into him, when he puts his hand out, that person will stop. Nowadays, who knows with this crazy world? You know? But you understand the principle. You have dominion. Turn to somebody and say, I have dominion. Can you still get that thumpy bass out? Sound man, get that bass out. It'd be great. Amen. There's another one, pursuing the plans of God in prayer. You know, If you're not in prayer, then you have no power in your life. You really don't. You're empty. But the other thing is prayer is a vehicle by which you can actually access, apprehend, and reach into the realm of God by the access of the Holy Spirit and actually apprehend the will of God. The Holy Spirit's job is to convey information. He is FedEx on the inside of you. John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will not speak on his own behalf, but that which he hears, he shall speak and show you things to come." It's not hide and seek, it's show and tell in the realm of the Spirit. And I got news for you. How many of you ever had one of your Facebook accounts or something hacked into? Maybe a business account, maybe your Cash App account, some of these weirdos from overseas and people and crazy people in America hacking into your account. But let me tell you something. Satan cannot hack into the realm of the Spirit. And you don't have to hack into it. You have an unction from the Holy One on the inside of you, and you know everything. You have divine access for what I cannot see, what ear cannot hear, all that is entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared. He has revealed those things to you by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. I told young people for years, you have a tutor on the inside of you. He will teach you, show you what to do in your next business step, whatever it is, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to be. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. So there is a plan in the mind of God, a DNA, a blueprint or architectural design for your life even yet. And it's a terrible thing, you know, to go through all your life and waste your life and find out you didn't do what God told you to do. You'd be spiritually bankrupt. As far as I know, I've been in the will of God all my life. As far as I know. Are you listening to me? Because I'm a man of prayer. And so if I start getting off in a certain direction, my mind telling me I get in prayer and it just brings me back to the center. Amen? Is this helping you? Boy, I think I should just listen to this myself again. I might even buy it for myself. What kind of a crowd I got tonight. Come on, yo. Okay, here's another one. It says, what you say is what you get. Did you ever notice that the people that talk negative live a negative life? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your tongue is like a rudder, James says. Although ships are driven by strong winds, it's directed by a small rudder, and so too the tongue is a little member. And how it corrupts us, how it leads us, with it we bless our fellow man, with it we also speak against our fellow brother. He said, from a fountain does there come both fresh water and salty water or something that's going in two different directions. No, you have to align, compass your heart with your tongue with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. You want to find out where you're going, put a tape recorder on your waist and listen to it for 3 days after you had it there and go back and I'll tell you where you're heading. Come on now. I could just teach on this for a couple hours. Amen. Amen. There's life and death in your tongue. And Paul talked about having a spirit of faith that believes, therefore it speaks. You have to call those things that be not as though they were. Amen. You have to call the finances in. You have to call in the house you're believing God for. You have to call in, speak over your children that aren't serving God. You have to call those things that be not as though they were. And when you release faith-filled words, they change the world around you. You understand that the worlds were framed by the spoken word. The Holy Spirit hovered over the earth in Genesis 1, and God said, let there be light, and light came. Are you there? The Holy Spirit's job is to hover over your tongue and what you're speaking. The Holy Spirit is the activity center of God. And so if you could change your lips, you can change your future. There's a miracle in your mouth. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And you're a byproduct of what you've been saying yesterday. However you sow, you reap. So if you sow bad seed. Now here's the thing. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We're like tea bags. You get dropped into hot water. What's in you comes out. So if you got a tongue problem, you got a heart problem. You haven't filled yourself up with the word. I was in one service. I think someone said, Brother Chris, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. He said, I think you quoted about 89 scriptures in one service. See,
Apollos in Acts 18 was mighty in the scriptures. And so get the word, and if you take time to get the word in your heart when you don't need it, it will be there when you do need it. Amen. David said the word. Everybody say the word. Have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against thee? So that would be good, wouldn't it? Because you can prophesy your destiny. Amen? Are you married yet? Your wife is in your words. When you go home and say, honey, I'm home. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that kiss. Thank you for that meatloaf. Jesus, you're such a great cook. You're cute. So you start prophesying your wife, right? And she's cute, sweet. She loves beards. Amen. You got it? Okay, there's another one I'll just mention real quickly, and the last one I'm going to teach on tonight a little bit. Avoiding the offense trap. Do you know that 66% of the people that leave churches do so because they got their feelings hurt? 66%. Someone offended them, sat in their chair. Someone didn't shake their hand. Pastor looked at you and didn't give you the kind of wink you needed or something. I don't know, whatever it is. Are you there? Matthew 24, Jesus said, what shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the age? The disciples said, it's okay. Bless her heart. Aw. Just get her a cookie, will you? You know when a dog's barking next door, you know, you just throw a bone over the thing and he's fine. I don't mean that's a dog. I don't mean that. It's okay. No worries. Now remember that. If you got a dog problem, just get a steak bone, throw it over there, stop barking because it'll be chewing on the thing. Okay. So the disciples said to Jesus, what shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the age? And Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars. And then he said there'll be pestilence and famines and earthquakes. And he said nations shall rise. Remember, anybody ever read the Bible? You read that, haven't you? He said nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. The Amplified Bible says ethnic groups shall rise against ethnic groups. Have you seen any of that? And the Amplified Bible says that. Cultural issues and skin and racism and all these woke, mentally retarded people. They need to wake up. Common sense is no longer common. The world's gone squirrely. That's why we need to teach the word with boldness. Tell people how to think, and they don't know how to think anymore. The devil's hijacked their thinking. The devil will take you over inch by inch, pinch by pinch, if you let him. But you get your mind renewed, you push back and tell him who's in charge. I'm back at Dominion. You see that? See, so anything, so we're going back to this. And then he said, because iniquity shall abound. The word iniquity means lawlessness. Sin will increase. He said, the love of many would wax cold. Have you ever noticed? Have you noticed that lately? How cold it is. You drive down the road and, you know, somebody, whatever, mad at you, flip you off. They had a gun that shoots you. You know, the world has turned into a high-pressure, stress environment. And people, and Jesus said, one of the signs, many shall be offended. That's what he said. He said, the love of many shall wax cold. The Message Bible said, most men's love will be nothing but a heap of ashes, like a burned-out building. That's not us, because Romans 5:5 says his hope does not disappoint, because the love of God's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? So he said, many shall be offended. Now, I read that one day in the page. And the word offend was off-end. Off in the end. The Spirit of God said off-ended, off-ended, off in the end. People will get off-ended because they'll get offended. You got it? Yes. Forgive people quick. Yes. Amen? Know who your friends are. You know, Jesus had 12 with him, and one of them betrayed him. I never sit down at a table with 12 people. Did you get it? Make it 11 so no one's going to betray me. 1 in 12 will turn on you possibly. Are you listening? And don't be someone that betrays somebody. Be loyal. Amen? Like Angel. She's a loyal person. She's loyal to the core. Amen. Be loyal. Be a person of love. Be a person of commitment. Amen? So the offended ones are going to leave the church. You know what? They're going to get off in the end times. And the devil's going to take them on a side journey and beat the fire out of them. And they'll journey off for 5-6 years and leave the church. And then they'll finally realize that they were set up and it was a snare and it was a trap. And after their life is shredded and beat up and dragged through the muck, then they'll come back to church and say, I shouldn't have left. I should have just forgiven. Are you listening to me? I was in a church Sunday night, and I only been to the church one time. And one man come up to me, and he said, Brother Chris, in that parking lot, I said, I want to apologize to you. He said, I misjudged you. See, I only been there once. He judged me. You know why he said that? Because I prayed for him, and he had a growth in his stomach, and it disappeared. Yeah, that changed his thoughts a little bit, right? See, sometimes we can misunderstand people. Are you listening to me? He thought I was just, I don't know, too militant or whatever. You know, I mean business. What I do, I take serious. I don't know about you, I take serious. You know, I don't know what he thought. But I was just gracious to him. I hugged him and said, don't worry about it. Amen. Be surprised with a few kind words. You know, Jesus was the lion and the lamb, right? And so a lamb lays his life down and a lion's looking for conflict. Against the enemy, not people, the enemy. Amen. God's made you bold and strong so that you're victorious and conquer in these end times. Amen. Amen. Is this helping you? So avoiding the offense trap, you can avoid it by walking in love and learning how to hurdle offense. Amen. Who would like this? I'm going to give it to him. I don't know, he put his hand up first. He was ready to tackle me, so I figured, well, I'm going to give it to him. And if you tackle me, I'd be in trouble. Be back in sports. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, last thing I'll do is I'll mention we have on the table some partner packets if you'd like to know about the ministry. Perhaps the Lord would speak to you, and you just pray over it and say, well, you're supposed to be a monthly covenant partner with the ministry. Help us keep running hard. If that's what God speaks to your heart, then please do so, okay? And you'll get the rewards, the prophet's rewards. Amen? Yes. You want that? Okay. Aw, that's sweet. Your grandson got healed last time. Aw, praise God. Amen. Is that with a stomach disorder? I told him to go eat tacos or something like that. Isn't that something? The devil. Boy, we just want to take care of him. Who wants this pursuing the plans of God in prayer? Dominion, bro, will that work for you? All right. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, 8. All right, think of a number. I feel like you need to have this. Amen. Just be led by the Spirit. Okay. All right. All right, let's lift our hands to heaven. Is this helping you tonight? I mean, we're teaching. I'm still teaching. You know, I went to the gym today and worked out. I trained today. Very important to me to stay disciplined. And it's interesting, like when I was there, there were people that were working out, and I noticed people were doing exercises wrong to hurt themselves, and instantly I wanted to go help them, train, teach them, so that they didn't hurt themselves, so that they could maximize what they were doing, see? So that teacher's inside of us, amen? So thank God for the teaching office and the prophet's office. Working together. Amen? Let's lift our hands. Father, tonight we lift up the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God. Things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. And you said if you be lifted up, you would draw all men to you. So tonight, not our ministry, not our name, but the name of Jesus. And Father, you said that the name of Jesus has power in three worlds. And I thank you for every person here tonight under my voice. Father, that you that began a good work in them will perfect it till the day of Christ Jesus. As we've said before, we've been young, we've been old, we've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And so we thank you, Father, for you that began a good work in us tonight will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And then, Father, over in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there one place, one accord, suddenly like a rushing mighty wind, you filled the house where they were seated, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with cloven tongues of fire. And you said there were devout men out of 17 different nations. Some were mocking, some were saying, what does this mean? But Peter, standing with the 11, said, you men of Judea and Samaria, be this known unto you. These men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel in the latter days. He would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters would prophesy. Young men see vision, old men dream dreams, and upon my handmaids and servants in that day I would pour out of my spirit. And then, Father, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 under the Old Testament said, 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13 said, when the singers and trumpeters became as one, lifting their voice, saying, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, then the house was filled with a cloud. Even to the point the ministers couldn't stand, for the glory of the Lord did fill the house. And then 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1, 2, and 3, when Solomon made an end of prayer, the fire came down from heaven, burnt the sacrifice and offerings, and the glory of the Lord did fill the house. And then Isaiah 40, and verse 5, the prophet Isaiah said, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for we shall all see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So, Father, right now we welcome the power of the Holy Spirit to enter into this building. We thank you. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. And if we can believe, all things are possible tonight. And then we thank you, Ephesians 3:20, now unto you who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that does work within us. And we thank you that their eyes of their understanding tonight is being enlightened, that they know the hope of their calling. And what is the riches of the glorious inheritance is becoming saints. And Father, we just love you and thank you tonight that in the atmosphere, miracles, signs, and wonders, we thank you for Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved among us with signs, wonders, and miracles, which God did in the midst of us. And then, Father, when they were forbidden to speak in the name of Jesus, the apostles prayed this prayer, Acts 4:29. Now behold thy threatening, and grant unto thy servant with all boldness we will speak forth your word, stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was literally shaken. So, Father, pour out your spirit. Thank you, according to Acts 3:19. You said times of refreshment would come tonight from the presence of the Holy Spirit. We pray for the invading power of the other world to enter in this building tonight. Saturate us tonight. Father, pour out your glory upon our people tonight. They're precious. We thank you for this church and these people and Pastor Philip and his beautiful wife, Father. We thank you for them tonight. We speak times of refreshment where they're at right now, as they're taking a little time out to rest and recruit. We pray refreshment upon them, and we thank you for the greatest visitation that is going to hit this church because we pray and believe and declare over their lives. We thank you, Father, for supernatural increase that comes to everyone here. Psalms 115, verse 14, and the Lord shall increase us more and more, me and my family. And so we thank you and them and their family for supernatural increase. And you said in Deuteronomy 11 that you would make us 1,000 times stronger than our enemies. Thank you. We're 1,000 times wealthier. We're 1,000 times stronger. We're 1,000 times walking in dominion. We're 1,000 times healed. We're 1,000 times smarter. We have wisdom 1,000 times more than the enemy. And this is the night that we begin, starting tonight at 7 o'clock here, Father. We've started. That'll go through tomorrow night and through the weekend, and we believe that we will see so many miracles that Jesus is alive and well. Father, thank you for people that will come even in advance. We thank you, Father, for the sparks of heaven, the lightning bolts of heaven in this place tonight. And we're just thrilled, and we just humble ourselves again under your mighty hand that you might be lifted up, and all men would be drawn to you. And everybody says, now how many of you sense the anointing already? It's here. I'm kind of like Charlie Brown, you know. Remember that, what was it, Linus? He had a dark cloud following him. I have a clear cloud that follows me. Everywhere I go, I bring the presence of God, and so do you for that matter. Amen? Amen? Okay, let's start tonight in Exodus 33 and verse 11. And we'll do our best to articulate for a few minutes some things to stir your heart in a certain direction. And I'll just quote it to you. And it said, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Everybody say face to face. As a friend speaks to a friend. Now, if you were to, you know, travel the world and be around, there's so many complicated religions in the world. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, You do err, speaking to the religious leaders. You know, this Christianity is not religion, it's relationship. Everybody say relationship. And that's what makes a guy like me tick, relationship. I'm very relational. And I know you are too, because you're built for relationship. Amen? And it says, and said that God spoke to Moses face to face. Say face to face. Now that's pretty close, isn't it, when you get face to face with someone. But as I travel the world, I was in India for 30 days, you know, and the Hindu religion, I spoke to about 30,000 people and was in four different parts of the nation. And, you know, in the Indian religion, the Hindu religion, you know, they have about 740,000 gods. That's a little complicated, isn't it? As far as I read, First Timothy 2 verse 5 says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so as you travel the world, and I have, and you see so many people, you know, endeavoring to have a relationship with God, but it's a bunch of systematic rules and regulations built on man. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, religious leaders of the day, he said, you do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And he said, listen to this, he said, the traditions of man make the word of God of none effect. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want traditions. There's some traditions that are really special. Like, I'm an Italian, and we have, family was everything, and we had so many beautiful memories as a family, Italians that would come together for the holidays, and I'm sure you all could relate, you have some traditions that are worthy and noble and honorable. But when it comes to religion, and it comes to relationship, tradition is a big downer when it comes to it, because really what Christianity is, it's not tradition, it's relationship. Everybody say relationship. So God spoke to Moses. You know, Moses was a great deliverer. And before you can deliver anybody, you got to get delivered yourself. Amen. Psalms 91:14 says, because you have set your love upon me, I will deliver you. And so your deliverance is found on setting your love on him, because our God is a consuming fire, and he'll set you free. And the anointing, his eyes are as a flame of fire, and he is the anointed one. Luke 4:14 said, Jesus returned into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Say power of the Spirit. And then went a fame throughout all the regions about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, which was his custom. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, recovery of sight to the blind, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he sat down and he said, today this is fulfilled in your ears, the scripture. What was he saying? I've come to bring relationship. I've come to bring presence. I've come to bring power. And I've come to take you out of the law and a binding, you know, the law was good under the Old Testament because it pointed you to a Savior, because you couldn't measure up. You realized you needed a Savior. It was a yardstick that pointed you to the fact that you needed a Savior like we all do. But here's my point. Jesus came to bring relationship to humanity. Amen. The first Adam failed. Amen. But Jesus is the second Adam, according to 1 Corinthians 15. And he came to deliver humanity, to bring them back into relationship with God Almighty. Amen? So it's not about tradition, it's about what? Relationship. Turn to somebody and say, it's about relationship. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 says this. You can look it if you want. I'm just going to quote it for the sake of time, because we don't have a lot of time. It said, God is faithful. Everybody say, God's faithful. Aren't you glad he's faithful? When we're unfaithful, he remains faithful because he can't deny himself. How many times were you unfaithful? And God remained faithful because he loves you so much. Amen. And then, of course, Lamentations 3, 23 and 24 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. And so God, if it wasn't for the Lord's mercies, we'd all be consumed. But the faithfulness of God is what's so powerful. And so we'll reflect on that for a minute, that he's faithful to you, and his faithfulness is to 1,000 generations. Did you know that? Amen. He can't deny himself. He is what he is. He's given his word, and he hastens over his word to perform, and he's faithful. Now listen to this. Who has called you, everybody say called. Now that's you personal. Take that personal. He's called you into fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Through his son, Jesus Christ. So he's the doorway. Amen. John 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man, ladies, you're included because you were in Adam. No man or woman comes to the Father but through me. He is the doorway into relationship with the Father. Aren't you glad? But now he said, God is faithful who's called you into, everybody say into. That means you got to step into something. Fellowship. And I hear in the realm of the Spirit, even this night, that God is calling us and his believers and his church and the body of Christ to come into a living relationship out of religion, out of formalities, out of bondage and condemnation, into a living relationship. Are you listening to me? Everybody say fellowship. Now, most of you like when pastor, his daddy cooks a lot, doesn't he? And there's always some kind of foods floating in the atmosphere. Y'all like to go fellowship, don't you? Most of Pentecostal, early Pentecostal people, you know, they all just sit around and eat, you know, and fellowship and hang out. Most of the pastors weigh 360 pounds and because they love fellowship. Well, I refuse to do that. I'm a disciplined man. And so if you're a man given to much appetite, the Bible says put a knife to your throat. That means stop. It doesn't mean kill yourself. It just says stop. Cut it off, okay? You got me? I lost a few of you there. But okay, you know, fasting's not a bad thing. And so God is faithful, and I hear in the realm of the Spirit, the Father God calling us, heralding us, like some of you moms, when your kids are out on the playground, you'd open the door and you say, come on in and eat. Hello, you call, there's a call. And in the realm of the Spirit, God is calling you into an intimate, personal relationship with him. Are you listening to me? God spoke to Moses face to face, as a man would speak to a friend. Now in Genesis 3 and verse 8, said Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Now I've always said it's cool to walk with God. It's a joke, okay, but it's in there, all right? At least I'm scriptural. Let me tell you something. Every time that, you know, in the morning I wake up, I text my daughters, I say, you need to walk with God today. You spend some time with the Savior today. You spend some time with the lover of your soul. Get in relationship with him. Now, let me tell you something. Just because, you know, one of the modern misconceptions of Christianity is just because you're born again that you know God. Let me tell you something. That's not the fact. Now, in one sense, when you're born again, y'all still with me, right? You're still listening real good? You know, when you're born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man, ladies, be in Christ, they're a new creation, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new, and all things are of God, has reconciled us back into himself, given unto us the ministry and reconciliation, verse 18, to wit, God was in Christ, hugging the world back to himself, one translation says. So you're born again. When you're born again, you're in life. The life of God comes in you. Your nature changes. Sin nature is annihilated. So in one sense, when you're born again, the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and God's Spirit lives within you? And then Ezekiel 36 says it this way, a new heart I'll give him, a new spirit I'll place within him, and I'll take away their stony heart of flesh, and I'll give him a heart of compassion, and I'll write the commandments of my laws on the tablets of the heart. So in one sense, when you're born again, the life and nature comes inside of you, but I got news for you. That doesn't mean that you know God. It means you're born into the kingdom. Amen? Like Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, so there's growth. And then the Bible says you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the living, abiding word. So there's a conception when the word enters the soil of your heart, and you hear the message and you accept Jesus, all of a sudden, Zoe, life comes inside of you. The breath of God comes inside of you and sin nature is annihilated and you're born again. You're born of the Spirit. Amen. Well, I got news for you. There's a difference between union and communion. Are you listening to me? I read the word communion one day and the Lord said, come into union, communion. Are you listening to me? Communion means that you walk with God. Communion means that you pray. Communion means that you engage your thought life and your heart and pray in other tongues and spend time with the Lord. And you're actually engaging whatever it takes to engage. If it takes worship in your house, put on your, you know, your what do you call those things in your ears? What do you call them? Earbuds, yeah, your buddies, your earbuds. And put on worship and let it push you over into the realm of the Spirit and walk the floors and pray. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. I can't tell you how many carpets I've almost worn out. Praying in other tongues, walking for long hours in the Spirit to fellowship with God that I might know Him. That I might fellowship with Him. Are you listening to me? Now let me help you with this. I'm the youngest of four boys. And my dad was a CEO executive. He owned four drugstores, had six partners underneath him. I was the youngest of the four. And I don't know what my dad was a real, you know, businessman focused, hard worker, successful businessman. And from the time, even when I was a little kid, I was always wanted to spend time with my dad. How many of you could relate to that? You got to understand, there's something innate inside of you to want to have a father. And to be fathered. And we are a fatherless generation. You do know that. Paul said you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but not many fathers. Now, one of the beautiful things that I see in Pastor Dosik is he is a spiritual father. And also, his daddy is a spiritual father. He has that. It's on the inside of him. I know it. I see it on him. And that's a good thing to be around because fathers do what? Fathers look out for their kids. Fathers spend time with their kids. Fathers protect their kids. Fathers warn their kids. Fathers take them, their kids on journeys. Fathers will sit down with a child and work with them and love them, protect them, and guard their hearts. And see, that's the heart of the Father towards you tonight. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. But on the other side of that coin, the antithesis of it is this, that me, even as a young boy, had a desire to spend time with my father. Now, my other brothers, for some reason, I don't know, maybe they were intimidated by him. I don't know, but I wasn't. And so when my dad would put on his shoes and he would walk, my dad would walk. He had these big, long legs, you know, and he would go walk. And as soon as I saw him putting on those shoes, I'd go put my shoes on as a young man and go walk with him. I had to kind of run a little bit to keep up with him, you know, because I'm kind of short, you know, a little bit short, not too short, but a little bit short. And so, you know, my dad was 6'1" and my mom was 4'11". So my mom wore heels to try to catch up a little bit. And she was Miss Niagara Falls. She was the most beautiful woman you'd ever want to see. Gourmet cook, what a sweetheart. And my dad used to say, my success in this life is because of your mother. He'd say, she's one in a million. And he was right. She was a beautiful woman. And she wrapped herself around his life like ivy on a tree or on a home. You ever seen that? And I always say behind every successful man is a wonderful woman. Amen. 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 And remember, our nation is only as strong as our motherhood. Are you listening to me? Thank God for, I always say a mother is like God on the earth. My mom, yesterday, the 28th, the 28th, she passed away 3 years ago, and we ushered her into the presence of God. I was there when she took her last breath, and she was the sweetest woman you'd ever want to meet. So kind. You know, when she was in the later stages, she was dropped weight. She was down to 70 years old, and I took care of her. As a man, that was hard. We didn't have any the ladies to help, so I'd pick her up and carry her to the bathroom. And there are times, you know, she, you know, would have to use the restroom, and I would have to, like, help her. And there was one time I was carrying her, and I had tears going down my face because I said, Mom, I'm so sorry. I'm a man, you know, I'm so sorry. And I'm so sorry. I mean, I wish there was someone to help you, a female. And she said, honey, don't worry. She said to me, you know, you could have been a nurse. That's what she said to me in that moment. Like, how sweet is it? In the middle of her turmoil, she died the next day. In the middle of her, right at the doorway of death, she was trying to encourage me on her deathbed. Isn't that beautiful? That's just a side thought. tried to tell you the kind of parents I was raised with. My dad was a strong leader, and my mom was so loving, so caring, so nurturing. And you know what? That's God's heart, because in God is male and female. Because when Adam was created in the image of God, he said it's not good for man to be alone. Then he knocked him out under some, hit him under the power, knocked him on the ground, and took a rib out of the side of Adam and created woman. Amen. That's why a woman, ladies, really like to be secure by the side of her husband. If a man will really protect her and really love her and lay down his life and serve her as Christ loved the church. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but it sure is good to hear. Amen. Men, cherish your wives. Amen. Treat them good. So treat them good. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Ladies, that was for you to go, yeah, but you missed it, man. You missed it. Take them out tomorrow and go buy them a new outfit or buy them some new shoes or bless them. And there we go. She'll like that. Take them to Hawaii soon. Hey, he's got his hand over her mouth. Did you see that? Oh, my. Too funny, right? But getting back to my dad, when my dad would go walk, he was a CEO executive, and I was a young boy, and I would go walk with my dad, and I'd ask him questions. Dad, tell me what you do. What are you doing with business? How do you think about all this? How do you buy a car, Dad? What do you do? I was asking him questions. You know why? Because in my fellowship and walking with him, there was impartations of wisdom and skills and things that I've even carried today because of those times walking with him. Are you listening to me? You have no idea. Like Paul said to the church at Rome, he said, I long to see you, Romans 1:11, that I may impart to you something spiritual. To this extent, you might be established. And so God's calling us into fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. You see the difference between union and communion? Communion is you actually participate. You're spending time with him. Amen. Glory to God. Now, if you look at Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, listen to this now. Seek ye first. Everybody say first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. So not only are you seeking to fellowship and spend time with him and have intimate relationship with him, but in the process, everything that you need will now become added to you as a byproduct. Amen. Sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? Amen. So now, Matthew 5:6, Jesus said something very powerful. He said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. So hunger is a meal, which is the scripture, and thirst is the presence of God. So you need meals, you need scripture, and I could teach on that for a while, and you need the anointing. Hunger and thirst will make you be filled. Amen. So your hunger will drive you into relationship with God. What takes a person out of a common place to pull them into a place where they begin to engage with God? It's your hunger. And you know, in John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus said, on that last great day, Jesus stood up and cried. He had tears coming down his face. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For this he spake of the Spirit that was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. For out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Are you listening to me? So when God says God is faithful, who's called us into fellowship, that is a place that is only apprehended through hunger. And if you look up the word fellowship in the Greek, it means koinonia. And the word koinonia means intimacy. Intimacy. Let me tell you something. God, there's so many facets of our Savior and our Master to discover. It's like meeting somebody for the first time when you fell in love or with your husband, wife, or whatever. It took you time to get to know them. And how do you spell love? T-I-M-E. It's like on my desk, I have this big, it's like a diamond on my desk that was given to me. It was a gift. It's not real diamond. If it was, you know, I'd be taking you all out tonight. And when you look into there, the light, there's so many different reflections from the angle. That's how God is. You will never exhaust the beauty of his character as you look at one different angle or look into God. And God will reveal himself to those that hunger and seek him. Will you listen to me? Jeremiah 33 says, call unto me and I will answer you. The anointing is dropping in here stronger right now. How many of you could sense it? I can sense it. Call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you things that you know not of. That means there's things you don't know yet about him. Well, you know, don't take your husband for granted. You think you know everything about him? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You think you know everything about your wife? Sit down and talk with her and let her talk, because you'll find out what's on the inside of her. And that's how it is with God. Do you understand God wants to say things to you? Do you understand God wants to give you direction? Psalms 32:8 said he would instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. He would guide you with his eyes upon you. Do you understand that God is in the business of, he's a revelator, the Holy Spirit, to reveal the purpose and plan of God and to talk to you about things? And there is a unlimited is the proper word, unlimited revelation of who he is. Are you there? Amen. Amen? Face to face. Everybody say face to face. You know, you can discover a lot about people by sitting down and talking to them. And you know what? We're so busy racing and running and going with all our responsibilities that we don't slow down long enough to actually engage with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Listen to me, I sense the anointing strong right now. This is very prolific. You have to get back to the basics. Seek ye first. Everybody say first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Are you there? Now, Psalms 42, I'll stick with me, and this is helping you tonight, right? Psalms 42, verse 1 and 2 says this. David said, as the deer or the hart. I think it's amazing how they use the word deer and use that illustration, David did, and it's also hart, because a deer and a hart, we want to say our heart, right? You there? As the deer panteth for the brook, so our soul longs for thee, O God. Our soul thirsteth for the living God. Now, do you know this? It's an actual fact that just as a deer is being hunted, so are you being hunted. You're being hunted by two spiritual forces, hell itself, evil cohorts, and God himself and angels. You're being hunted. Do you know that? I'm constantly being hunted. And guess what? I'm doing some hunting myself. I'm on the office. For the time of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. The anointing is what makes you violent. That doesn't mean we go get guns and shoot and do. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a violent pursuit of God where you carry God's power, where you are in charge with the anointing. Amen! Are you there? So do you know that when a deer, this is the actual fact, when a deer actually goes to the water, when it hits the water and goes into the water, that which pursues it no longer can follow its scent. We might need to make an adjustment. Are you listening to me? That which pursues a deer, when it hits the water, the scent of that which pursues it can no longer be scented. So what does that mean? When all the world's pressures, the demonic attacks, the counterattacks, Ephesians 6:10, finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. When you're attacked by the forces of hell, which we are, when you run into the presence as a deer is longing for that thirst to fulfill its quench, when you hit the water, the enemy says, where'd you go? Where'd they go? Because he has no access into the realm of the Spirit. How many of you know Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord, He is my rock, He is my refuge, the God in whom I trust. The secret, man, I sense the anointing so strong right now. It's dropping in here strong. The anointing, the secret place. The enemy has no access. That's the place where you find safety. You know, actually, it says, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Lord is my rock. He's my rock. Do you know that when David was pursued, by the Philistines or any other enemies, he actually, there's a place that was hidden on the border of the Philistines, and it was a cave, and it had rocks in it, and he would hide in there, and the Philistines didn't know where to find him. And that's where he writes Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most shall abide in the shadow of the Most High, say of the Lord, He's my rock, because it's a rock cave. It's historic. Read it. And when you pursue the presence of God and pursue His face, not His hand, His face, then you become consumed with His power, and you're in the dwelling in the secret place, and the enemy doesn't even know where you're at. He cannot touch you. Come on now. I sense the anointing so strong right now. It's dropping in here stronger. Amen. Are you listening to me? Now, the word koinonia means intimacy. You were created for intimacy. Are you there? Now, I read that one day, and the Lord said to me, into me see. Into me see. So when God manifests Himself and you hunger after Him, you begin now to look into Him. Like that diamond that reflects different angles. You begin to look into the very face of God. You begin to look into the heart of God. He'll speak a terminology to you and tell you things, and the way He says it will just have such a twist on it that you'll go, oh my God. How many of you know what I'm talking about when the Lord speaks to you? And see, when you look in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus where Jesus had something to say to the seven churches, listen closely. He said to the church at Ephesus, listen to what he said. He said, I know your patience. I know your dedication. Listen. And he went on to say, and I know that you even would not put up with sin. So that's pretty good so far, isn't it? Isn't it? And then he says this. He said, there were even false apostles that were liars, and you called them on the carpet and said you're liars and wouldn't put up with them. So far, pretty good, isn't it? But then in verse 4, he says, I've got something against you. He said, what is that? He said, you left your first love. Can you imagine? Could you imagine like being so in love with God, and then you get into the semantics of the day-to-day operations, or even in the ministry, you know, or in life and business, and you're still doing good things, like you won't tolerate sin, and you call liars that are lying and false apostles, and you're being patient and you're working hard, and yet at the same time you can get so caught up in the ramifications of the engine of the treadmill of life that you actually forgot to spend time with Him. The last few days, and just in my hotel room, you know, I've had such a presence, manifestation of the power of God in my hotel room, where I just have tears coming down my face, how much I love God. Folks, we can become so calloused. We can become so going through the motions. and yet not really have that love relationship like it should be. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I get to the point where I just can't, I can't stay away from him. Listen to me. I can't stay away from him. Or I have to get alone in the room. I have to everything turn off. Fox News, the world, Afghanistan, whatever it is. And then when I step into that place and the presence falls, my heart melts. Listen to me, I am not talking something up here. I'm talking something that's alive in me. I flew in just early on. I came in Thursday night, and I didn't start. We didn't start, or actually, what was it? We didn't start till when? When did we start? Sunday, right? So I flew in Friday night to get travel out of the way so that I could spend the whole day with Jesus. I locked up in a hotel room and just walked the floors for hours. I put on that Saturday, I put in 8 hours of prayer in tongues. Are you listening to me? I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just talking. I've gone into that place and I want to crack it wide open. I want to know him. Then I got up the next morning and prayed 3 hours before I even went to the church. 8, 9, 10. I put in 11 hours prayer for one service. Why? Because if I don't know him, what do I have to give? What can I give you? Nothing. It's dead religion. Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Remember, the greatest thing that you as a believer are called to is to walk with him, to know him. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Listen to this. And manifests a sweet aroma of his presence everywhere you go. You carry this presence. You carry like a cloud, like glory. Like I'm Italian, you know. You eat garlic, it comes out of your pores, man. Huh? Come on now. What you digest comes out of your pores. Acts 4:13 said, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they didn't have PhDs from the University of Jerusalem. Now, I'm not against education. I've got an undergraduate degree in business. I've got a master's degree in counseling, and I have a doctorate of divinity, okay? All right? So I'm not against education. Now, neither am I trying to impress you, because it doesn't matter. If I could have all the knowledge of everything, if I don't know him, what is it? It's just a bunch of words, dead words. You know why your words carry something? Because when you walk with him, when you speak, it's out of the spirit realm. It has substance. It has weight to it. Sometimes I go to some churches or check in, and I hear some people teaching, and it sounds like Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. Like, what do they say? What? And then there's others that you can tell they've been in the presence of God and they carry something. Folks, we're called to carry him to the world. We're not called to walk. You know, years ago, I worked 8 years in the local church, and I was the academic dean of a Bible school. And the head of that school told somebody, which is someone came to me secondhand, and they said, it was the greatest compliment someone could ever give to me. I cherish it even to this day. Said, Brother Chris runs deep with God. Think about that. Do you run shallow with God or deep with God? Are you on the surface? Let me tell you something. The only thing, this world's going to get darker. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. It's going to get darker and darker and darker. The only sense of relief that you'll have will come from the presence of God. I'm telling you right now, you better get ready. You better find that secret place. You better engage. You better get past the surface. of union to communion with Him. Is this helping you? Come on now. Philippians 3 and verse 10. I want to read it to you from the Amplified Bible. Is that okay? All right. Philippians 3. I wrote this all out on some paper here. Very professional, right? And normally I'm extremely professional, but I just had this to bring tonight. Philippians 3 says, 10 says, the King James says, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to suffer. That doesn't mean sickness and disease. It means persecutions and afflictions are going to come. If they hated me, they'll hate you. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Whippy-ding. We're graced for it. We can handle it. Amen? Being more conformable to His death. Now, here's the Amplified Bible, and I want you to listen closely. For my determined purpose is that I might know Him, that I might become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly, more clearly, with more decisiveness. Folks, the greatest thing we're called to is walk with Him, to fellowship with Him. And so when He told the church at Revelations, He said, look at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, Revelations 2, and I'll close with this, because I could go on and on, but let's just close with this. He said, look, I know your works. I've watched you. Do you think God doesn't know what's going on in your world? I flow in a prophetic office. I get in front of people and God shows me things. You mean to tell me God doesn't know what's going on in your world? I'm never shocked. The Bible says when two sparrows fall to the ground, He knows about it. The hairs of your head are numbered. God knows everything going on in our life. Are you listening to me? Come on. So He says, I know your life. I know your patience. I know you wouldn't tolerate sin. You stood up and said, we're living pure and holy for God. You even called those false apostles that were liars that tried to enter into the church, these weird false leaders. We called them on the carpet, called them liars. We checked that. He said, but in verse 4, He said, I got something against you. You forgot. You left your first love. So God wants us back close to Him. Are you listening to me? God wants you close to Him. Listen, the anointing is falling, so let's respect the anointing. Listen, God is calling for your heart, for your time to come back to your first love. Well, when did you get saved? I got saved back in 1989. Yeah, that's great. Have we fellowshipped with Him? Are we spending time with Him? You know, like, if you want more of G.O.D., turn off HBO. Sit and fill ourselves when we download on things that the enemy wants to just clutter and pollute our hearts with. And then there's the Holy Spirit that comes. He wants to fill you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to refresh you, wants to heal you, wants to deliver you, wants to give you direction, wants to love you through things that are hard, wants to give you all that He has. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. He says, cleanse your hands from sin and purify your hearts from being double-minded. And Hebrews 12:21 says, our God's a consuming fire. So when you draw near to Him, guess what happens? the things of the world start to fade away. The Bible says, love not the world, nor the things of the world, for all that's in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is passing away with its lust thereof. But he that does the will of God shall abide forever. Lift your hands to heaven. Now we'll just wait on him a bit. I've prayed all day long for this intersection right here. He loves you tonight. Comes the anointing stronger. Watch. Watch what hits this building. You watch. Telling you, it's going to drop so strong in here. The glory of God is manifesting in this service tonight. Visitation is on, folks. He's here. It's just going to get heavier and heavier in this building. You watch what hits this building. You watch. Divine visitation from the other realm. Open your heart to him tonight. Back to your first love. Just a little bit lower. You can play a little louder. back to your first love. The Spirit lead you. Spirit lead you. Out of your spirit. Going to wait till it continues to drop in here. When the world of God comes into the world of man, things change. Lives change. Depression leaves. Suicide leaves. Despair and care and anxiety leaves. Slower, music slower. Slower, tempo slower. Thank you. you're dealing with depression, stand to your feet. Depression. Obey God. Not sleeping at night. Depression and anxiety attacks. Quickly, stand to your feet. I know it's all over the building. Quickly. I know the Spirit of God. Quickly, stand. So obey God. Quickly. Not sleeping at night. Quickly. Stand to your feet. Being attacked in your soulical realm. Assaults in the mind. Quickly. Stand to your feet. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Respect you for that. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Quickly. Stand to your feet. Not sleeping at night. Under assault. Like warfare against your life. Family. Quickly. Stand to your feet. There's more. Quickly. Thank you, honey. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, sir, in the back. Just obey God. The anointing is strong tonight. It's going to get stronger. We're in an atmosphere right now where anything can happen. Tumors can dissolve. If you need a body part, it can be brought into you tonight. Not sleeping at night. Quickly, stand to your feet. Depression, like a dark cloud, it just keeps hanging over you. You can't seem to break it. Quickly, stand to your feet. Come on, obey God. Thank you. Thank you. Obey God. There's different waves of God when He wants us to do this. This is the first thing. Smoke and cigarettes, any type of addiction, any type of things that you want to ask God to help you with, you stand to your feet. He'll help you. Don't worry about what people think. Greatest deliverance you'll ever get is being delivered from the opinion of man. Those that are standing, just come down here. I'm going to pray for you. Quickly come. Quickly come. Everyone that's standing, quickly come. We honor, we respect you. Quickly come. I'm proud of you. You're doing good, honey. You can play a little more. Good. You're doing great. Quickly come. There's different waves, so that's the first thing. Depression, oppression, depression. Quickly. Come up here and lift your hands and worship God. Get your eyes on Him, just like the anointing that's here, just like connect. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We magnify you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Suicidal thoughts. Now, that doesn't mean that that's you. You're worried about being, it's okay there. Doesn't mean that you're, you know, it's you. It means it's the enemy. Putting hope deferred makes the heart sick. Suicidal, like you're despair. You ushers will follow me, right? Okay. Those of you up here, just say, Jesus, I receive tonight the anointing to flow into me. The yoke-destroying anointing that breaks every stronghold of the enemy. When hands are laid on me, it'll be just as though Jesus put His hands on me. I will feel love. I'll feel delivered, set free, and every bit of oppression will be broken off me in Jesus' name. Now lift your hands and worship. You can play some more. Let's worship God. Ushers, follow me. Be free. You ready to receive tonight? You are? Okay, come forward. Good. Now, in the name of Jesus, I break all oppression off of her now. There it is. Now, the finances will come and increase shall come as you sow seed and declare and decree, our God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. David said, I've been young and I've been old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Remember to declare the word of God over your life and watch increase come. There's the anointing. Take that. Take it. Fire. Now, mood swings, sometimes up, sometimes down. I break that oppression off of him now. Devil, you leave him alone now. Be free! No fear, baby. No more fear. Okay? God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound, well-balanced, disciplined mind. anxiety. Philippians 4:6, he says, be anxious for nothing. Lower just a little of music, okay? Just a little. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There it is. There's the anointing. I'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Say, Jesus, I'll serve you. I love you. Jesus, you're my Lord. There it is right there. Fire. Take the anointing. There it is. There it is. Let it flow into you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Clean in heart. Clean. There it is. Take the anointing. In the name of Jesus, I come against every bit of oppression against him. Get behind him, guys. In the name of Jesus. The devil can't take anything away from you. When God gives you something, it's yours. So don't worry about it. Worry about it. Use your authority. Say, I have dominion and authority. The enemy can't steal, kill, steal, and destroy from me any longer. Now, I break that oppression in Jesus' name. There, take that on. It went into you. Good to see you, sir. Father, I thank you for my brother. Thank you for finances that come to him from the north, south, east, and west. I thank you, the Lord, you shall increase him more and more, him and his family, and cause increase to come from the north, south, east, and west. Just say this with me. Lord Jesus, tonight is my night. I give you my heart. He said if I confess any sin, you'd be faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I give you my heart tonight. In Jesus' name. There's the anointing. There it is. Take it. It's a good man right there. The same assault comes at you. It's the same type of thing that comes at you over and over. And remember that Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love towards you, that while you were yet sinner, he died for you. So nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, things present, things to come. And Jeremiah 31, verse 3 said, the Lord has appeared to you of old. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. It's everlasting. It's vertical from him. Nothing can separate you from that love. That love is so strong right now for you. Can you set all that stuff down and just do me a favor? Just put your arms around her. Just put your arms around her. Just stay right there. I'm coming back, okay? God's moving in your life in a mighty way. There's a lot of change going on, but go with the change, and the power of God's going to flow through you in a greater measure. This is a season where it's been challenging at times. You've had to move several times into some things, and it's been challenging. But the Lord is with you, for he is with you always, even to the uttermost ends of the earth. And the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that you boldly say, the Lord is your helper. You'll not fear what man can do to you. Now, the Lord is setting you up for greater blessing and increase. And the steps that you have made, sometimes it goes tilt with your head. But let me tell you something. You're following the plan of God. And sometimes it goes tilt with your brain. But keep following him, because out of your obedience will come blessing and increase, and you'll be glad. You'll look back even to this night and you'll say, I remember the word that was given to me. And you'll see the fruit of it, and the blessings are going to be released in your life, okay? More money, more increase, everything. Increase is coming to you in your life now. Break every assignment off of her now in Jesus' name. Break depression. Yeah, I know there's so many things you have to do and get done. You don't have enough time. I get it, right? And I need the Lord's help, you'd say. Well, just remember, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. So the Spirit of the Lord will give you that empowerment to get it done. And then don't let anxiety come to you. Just take one moment at a time and just say, Lord, you help me. There it is, right there. There's the anointing. There it is. flow right into her in Jesus' name. Usher, stay close. Now, every bill that you have, every financial pressure you have, God said, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. So he's going to supply it for you. The money will come in, but you just be faithful and work hard. Put your hand to something and work hard, and the Lord will supply. And whatever you do, do wholeheartedly as unto the Lord rather than unto men. Okay? There it is, right there. There's the anointing. Take the anointing. Let's lift our hands and worship God. We're getting breakthroughs. Come here, honey. Now, you're a line upon line person. It's got to be order, right? Okay. And so sometimes when you move through life, if it's not in order, sometimes it can really rub you a certain way. But the Lord said, don't major on the minors. Keep the big picture out in front of you, and then it'll take some pressure off you. Because that sometimes you get bogged down and it messes with you too much, okay? Right? Makes sense, right? Okay. So just cast your care on it and say, Lord, it's all yours. And I just trust you with all my heart. Lean not on my understanding. All my Lord, I'll let you handle that. You're going to handle that. That's too much for me. Or else you're going to blow a fuse, honey. 1 Peter 5:7, this is accurate, isn't it? Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you affectionately. And watch. Just cast your care on him and let him handle it. And just say, you know what? Yeah, it's bigger than me. God, you're going to handle it. And just keep loving God. Okay? You got it? And just keep moving through. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They move through the fiery furnace. So just keep pushing through. There's the anointing right there. There it is, peace. Like a river flow into her in Jesus' name. I know that makes sense. Come here, honey. Now, you love the Lord with all your heart, don't you? You really do love the Lord. Now, don't let her go. Don't let her go. Now, Father, I thank you for her, for you have greater things for her, a larger living place for her, a larger place for her to expand her home, a bigger home for you, more ground. You need more room, don't you? Yeah, you don't, right? You do, right? Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So you've been asking the Lord, so Father, provide a new home for her with a larger backyard, with a larger house, with a larger and another car too, right? Right, that's what the Lord says, right? Is that accurate or what?
Yes.
Yeah, it's accurate, yes. Right? Okay. And then you can't stay where you're at. It's time for explosion to bust out. So this is a breakthrough season, and it starts tonight in Jesus' name. Fire! Let's lift our hands and thank you. Lift your hands up, honey. Now, the same love that you long for, Jesus already died on the cross to give to you so that you would be filled up with his love so that you could, in fact, turn the table on all that and start loving others. So, in the name of Jesus, Father, just fill her with your power. Yeah, I know you wanted to be here tonight. I told the Lord, I need more of God tonight. That's what you said in your heart, right? Lord told me to be here tonight. Yep. Fire into her in Jesus' name. Where's her husband? Where is he? Come here, bro. She's a good lady. You're a good man. Good guy. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for my brother. Thank you for his heart. So sincere. Such a good man. Yeah, I know you got a lot of workload on you, man. Got a lot on you, right? So many things you got to handle sometimes. It's hard, you know? You're just one man, you know? Okay, so what I hear the Lord say is like delegation. Try to find someone to help you, and then take time for the two of you, like intimacy with the Lord, the two of you get away, okay? Got it? Okay, take the anointing. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and thank God. You know, life can be so busy for all of us that we're just going in different directions sometimes, and it affects all of us. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Let's thank God. We'll wait for the next thing that he wants us to do. Okay. Lower back pain, respiratory problems. Quickly, lower back pain and respiratory problems. Ringing in the ears, sciatic nerves, some kind of someone you've had a respiratory, you've been coughing and you can't seem to shake that cough. It's like it's there, it's here, it's here, it won't go away. That's you, isn't it? Miss America, Miss Faith, isn't it? Digestive tracts, trouble with the digestive tracts, your stomach, you're having problems with the stomach. I don't know who that is. That's you? Okay, just stay right there. What's wrong? Can't stomach food, like indigestion, right? Like burning? Okay, now let's get you, just lay back down. Just lay down and God will take care of all of it. Okay. Now watch, you're going to start feeling burning from the Holy Spirit in your tummy. Watch how fast. And your back. Watch how God starts healing your back. You'll start feeling it. Literally, it's going to shift, honey. Watch. Told you. You start feeling heat, right? Like heat, right? You ever felt that before? A few times? Good. Well, wait till you feel the rest of this. Like a fire shut up in your bones, right? You're going to feel your whole back. While you're there, your whole back is shifting and your stomach's being made whole. So just enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Okay. Lift your hands and thank God. Okay. Cough.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Father, we thank you for healing her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet in Jesus' name. Fire into her in Jesus' name. What's wrong, honey? Back and digestive. Bring me a chair. Come on, one of you guys, just grab me a chair. Good job, brother. Okay, just sit down. Bring him a chair, too, because your back hurts, too, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. Okay, put your legs out. Okay, and relax. Relax. Okay. See how this leg is off a little bit? Okay, watch. Now it's longer. Okay, where was your pain? Really? Is it there right now? You're healed. Good. You're healed, honey. I like all your jewelry, by the way. Okay, boss. What's spinal fusion? Spinal fusion. Nerves never regenerated, so you got numbness?
Numbness and muscle spasms.
Okay. All right. That's all going to come back to you right now. You can go play golf with this or beat the devil over the head with it. Put your legs up. It's a good thought, isn't it? Okay. All right. Now see how off you are? Watch. That was easy. Did you see that? Yeah, it just grew out. Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? We won't even charge you. All right, good. Because you don't have any money. Well, you'll start tithing and sowing, and the money will come to you. Okay. Now, where was your pain? Okay. Okay, do you have numbness now? In your toes, but it's not in your back anymore, in your legs anymore, is it? Not in your hips, right? Because you're being healed right now. Okay, and even your toes, twinkle toes. Yeah, since the surgery, the major issue was numbness in the toes. Well, guess what? Your toes are being healed right now. No, they're not as numb. Of course not. The devil's a numbskull. Take these things off, will you? All right. Now, well, you got like 34 different heels in there. Come on, enough is enough. You're healed. God wants to heal you, brother. Okay, now, stand up and step on your toes because you'll find you're absolutely healed. There ain't no more numbness in there. You're healed, man. You're healed. That's pretty good, isn't it? A lot better, of course. Now you can just beat the devil over the head with that thing. Smack him in the head. Would you? Yeah, you don't even need him. You're healed, man. Just give it a little minute there. Just wiggle your twinkle toes. See? And you're going to start feeling warmth in them. Watch. Told you. Nice. Pretty good, huh? Amen, he fed. Amen. What's wrong, sir? COVID? Oh, that's nothing. COVID. Deterioration, COVID, degenerate. The devil's a degenerate. God breathed into Adam the breath of life. So watch, your heart's beating fast, bro.
That's from the COVID.
From the COVID? Okay. All right, you're being healed right now. Now I speak life into his lungs. Sir, you're healed. I don't know your name, sir. What's his name right there? Mark, you're healed, bro. You don't need the cane anymore. You don't need it. You're healed. Well, just get out of here, will you? Go play golf in the morning. Now take a deep breath. You'll find out. You'll feel warmth in there. Look, he's perfect. It's fine. Come in limping, walking like a crooked sailor, you know? Now he's healed. Mark, you're healed, bro. Love you, brother. Okay. Take a deep breath. That was easy. You're done. Get out of here. You ain't got no... And don't say, well, I got COVID and I got... Don't say that anymore. If I came to your door with a bag of snakes, would you say, okay, bring them in, put them on the couch. I got them. Close the door. Smack the devil. Okay, bro, you're back?
Yes.
Okay, sit over here. What do you need, brother? Something for... Respiratory? Come here. That's nothing. Just sit down, bro. Digestives? Okay. All right, now, you're going to start feeling warmth in the digestive. Somebody's right shoulder. I don't know who that is. You have a right shoulder, some kind of problem? You? Okay. Be healed. In Jesus' name. The right shoulder? Okay. Go ahead and move it. Is it stuck? Does it bother you?
It hurts from time to time. It sits lower than
Does it hurt now?
A little bit.
Do you weight train?
I did for a while. I haven't.
Okay, we'll get back to weight training. Come on. All right. Now, Father, I thank you for the call of God upon his life. I thank you that he'll preach with the fire of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for revelation gifts that flow. I thank you he lays hands on the sick. They do recover. I thank you that he prophesies over young people, and he preaches the word, and he flows in the gifts of the Spirit, and the anointing shakes him, and fire of God overtakes him. Fire! Lift your hands. You're healed, by the way. Let's thank the Lord now. Lift your hands. Female problems, ovaries. Who is that with ovary issues? Ladies, female problems, issues with the ovaries. I just call it out. I know it's not him. Hey, put your legs out, brother. Okay. All right. See how you're off you are, bro? Look, man. No wonder you're back. Watch how fast. That's easy. That was easy. Now, where is your pain? Okay. You're David, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mighty warrior. Okay. Your pain's leaving you right now, David. You feel warmth down there, bro. Now, you have a great grace on you to help leadership, to stand with leaders. You know that. A grace on you, like the ministry of helps to stand with leaders. And that's going to increase like an Aaron and an Ur that lifts up the hands of Moses. Now, Father, bless him and his family. Speak peace and increase over him now in Jesus' name. Heal his back, spine, sciatic nerve. Let it heal now in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, I know there's like so many things you have to do for the Lord, right? Right, David?
Yes.
That's what you said, right?
Yes.
Yep. Now take the anointing. Fire into him in Jesus' name. Okay. What do you need, honey?
I had a cyst taken out.
Cyst? Female?
Yep.
Okay. It doesn't produce enough estrogen? Who told you that? Okay. What about Dr. Jesus? Okay, perfect. You can help me since I'm not going to put my hands under there. Put your hand on right on that spot. Show her right where it is. It's over there on that. Okay. Got a new keyboard player. I can feel it. I'm very sensitive. Okay. Now, estrogen, producing of estrogen, perfect! There it is. Fire! Okay, while you're down there, you're going to feel a burning there. Stomachs are being healed. Lower backs are being healed. Somebody's right shoulder's being healed. Go ahead, move it, bro. You're good, man. Yep. All right, let's lift our hands and thank God. Someone here, you've had ringing in the ears. I don't know who that is. Ringing in the ears. Quickly, any kind of ear problems, deafness, ringing, quickly come. Come, honey. Come. You're going to feel warmth down there, sis. You do, don't you? You ever felt that before? You're not like that. Yeah, of course. Okay. It's good to see you. Okay. What's wrong with your ears? I'm going to ask you. Thick. There's a lump there. Okay. Oh, okay. Because I knew it was in the ear down the neck. Now we curse it at the root. command the growth to dissolve. I curse you at the root. Dry up. Fire. Now, when you get up, honey, you're going to find out that that lump is gone. Okay, let's lift our hands and thank God. Let's worship Him and thank Him. Stomach problems are healed. Lungs are healed. Sciatic nerves and backs are being healed even more. My brother that with the cane, brother, he's still working on you, sir. He's still working on you, Mark. So just keep thanking him, man. All night long, you're going to feel heat on your body when you're laying in bed. Jesus is the greatest chiropractor there ever is. He can fix nerves. He can fix even things that are blown out, discs and stuff that are all, he can fix all of that. He can put brand new ones in. Are you done? You still burning? It's still burning. Okay, well, you want to get off the operation table and get up and work, blood squirting all over the place. Okay, migraine headaches. Who is that? Constant migraine headaches and pain in the eye area, like you have pain through the eyes that causes the headaches. It's through the eyes and the headaches. Quickly. I don't. It's you? No, you're getting the whole total on it. Just stay under there. Can you reach over there? You'll find that growth's gone. It is gone. Told you, right? All right. What is it now? I'm just making sure she's paying attention. It's Faith. Faith is your name. Okay, Mona.
The eyes.
The eyes, yeah. I knew that. I just wanted to hear you say it. Now, Father, thank you for healing her eyes. You think about the Lord all the time, don't you?
Yes.
Wow, what a heart. The Lord is ever before her, always before her in her thought life. She loves to talk about the Lord. She likes to sing, likes to pray. You're good at encouraging other people too. Mona. Mona Lisa. Fire! In the name of Jesus. Good catch, guys. Good catch. Let's thank God. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship Him. God, how many know God's doing a work in here? Come on, the devil's getting his tail kicked. That's what we came to do. There's no more growth in your throat. It's gone, right? We won't even charge you. I promise, we won't charge you nothing. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Let's worship Him. Just stay under it, Mona. Okay? Just stay under it. Let's thank God. Someone here, you have some kind of a growth in the chest area, like a knot in the chest area. I don't know who that is, like a growth in the chest, right up through here, right up in this area. I don't know who it is, like a knot or some kind of right in here. Is that you, Mark? Is it you? Okay, just stay right there. Now, Father, put your hand on that knot, right where it is. Right there, right? Okay, now lift your other hand up to heaven. Now I command the knot to not be. I curse it at the root now in Jesus' name. Father, raise up Mark to be a great testimony to the area that he'll go around and talk about all that Jesus did for him, how Jesus healed him in a service. Some crazy Italian man came and God healed me through him. It was Jesus, though. And that he'll go around and talk about what God did for him, how he healed his back and sciatic and everything, growth, everything. Thank you, Father, for my brother right now. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we thank you for it now. Amen. Your back's healed, right? It is, right? Praise the Lord. That's good news, right? Hallelujah. Ringing in the ears is being healed completely. Let's thank God, all right? Let's just lift our hands and thank Him and see whatever else He wants to do here before. Hey, guess what? We'll be here tomorrow night, too. Man, it's going to be exciting, isn't it? Tomorrow night, God's going to move, too. Praise God. Somebody here, you've had problems with your teeth through the jaw, like a popping through the jaw and the ears, like a popping through the jaw. You have problems in the jaw. I don't know if it's TMJ or something like that with the jaw. Who is that? Quickly. Problems with the jaw. Like when you move it a certain way, it has a pop to it. Who is that? Is that you? Hey, come, honey. Oh, and her too. I used to call it, you know, TMJ and call it TJ Maxx just to make light of it because that's about all it is to God. Okay. You ready to receive? What goes on? It pops. It clicks. Okay, that's what the Lord said, right? So He knows, right? What's your name?
Tina.
Tina. Okay. Lift your hands up. Now, Father, right now, I thank you for touching Tina's life. Father, use her. She's a pretty smart girl. Never people underestimate her, but she's smart. Stay behind her, guys. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Now you're going to start feeling heat in your jaw, honey, Tina, like warmth. See? That's pretty cool, huh? Now, Father, heal her jaw, fix it in Jesus' name, that it wouldn't pop anymore. There it is, right there. Thank you, Father. She loves music. Worshipper. Loves to worship God. Let's thank God. Hallelujah. The female parts, you're done. You're fixed. You just go, you're done. You're fixed. I'm just trying to tell you, like, a shortage of estrogen. Are you kidding me? There's no shortage in estrogen. In heaven, a shortage of estrogen. You're healed, by the way. You're back. Everything. You're straight. You are, aren't you? Warmth everywhere. Yeah, of course. That's the anointing. That's good, isn't it? That's good, isn't it? Yeah. All right, let's lift our hands and thank God. Tina, you're healed. God's moving in you. Oh, let's just see just whatever else. We'll kind of wrap it up here in a few minutes, but we'll be here tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll be back tomorrow. Praise God. How many of you are going to come back tomorrow? Amen. Why don't you invite about 10 people? Get the most sickest person in town. Bring them here. The worst case, the hardest case, bring them. And God will raise them up and we'll have a revival in this area. Blow the lid off religion. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Is there a song that you guys can do where we can, before we close here? Amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Back to our first love, right? Amen. Tonight you're going to press in. We'll be back tomorrow. Let's thank the Lord. Do you guys do a song? Can you do something? That stand to your feet all around the building and let's just thank him for his goodness and kindness. Amen.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed.
To the Lord.
God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. And bodies are still being raised. And giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see. The wonders are still what you do.
Come on, let's lift our hands and thank him.
We are here for. We are here for you, Lord. Come and do what you do.
We're just getting warmed up. Tomorrow night's going to be awesome.
Come and do what you do.
Come on, worship.
tonight to come back tomorrow, you might want to get some counseling sessions, because if God didn't move in your heart, you better go home and check it. God moved. So before we dismiss, I got some prayer requests real quick, and then we're going to go ahead and dismiss. But so I'm going to go ahead and pray for these. Father God, I just pray for